go. Ready? Go.
It's Football Friday.
We gotta have it now.
Powered by Bud Light Seltzer, official partner of the Seattle Seahawks.
Come on, you're getting high now. You're getting high. You're too high, baby.
On your home for college football Saturdays and the NFL, Seattle Sports Radio 950.
Let's go get it.
KJR.
Now, Buddy Landell, it's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name. When last year I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made. Woo!
Come on. The greatest. No one better. Wipe the floor with Hogan. Headlines brought to you by VenueKings.com. Pac-12 announcer coming back.
Can't keep a good conference.
And then there were four.
Plus
one. Plus one.
Mountain West, though, is going to beat us. November 6th, they're going to play a seven-game schedule. Every Pac-12 team will play the five teams in their division plus one crossover game. Actually, they're going to play two crossover games. Because the championship game, the title game, will be obviously a crossover, but everyone else will play another crossover game as well. They're going to play five against their teams in their own division and then two crossover games.
All right.
And then someone's going to be upset.
So do you think they'll schedule the extra game based on, like, how teams are likely to finish? Like, for instance...
No, I don't know why they didn't announce this yesterday or didn't make it clear. I just think that, to me, it would be, again, exactly what the Big Ten is doing. One versus one.
Right, I'm talking...
Two versus two.
That's
three
for game
three,
seven.
Four, yeah, that, yeah.
I'm talking about you're going to have one...
you could possibly...
So, like, would they, for instance, not have Oregon play Utah?
Oh, well, no.
Because that's likely.
Because, you know, you could have where two teams have played each other twice.
Then. Right.
You got to eliminate that. I guess they would just have to base it off after the sixth game, determine who's in the championship game, and then they'll have to do the schedule like that, right?
So they just won't know.
You probably won't know the final game unless I'm missing something. You're not going to know the final game until the very end.
Right.
Right?
Right. But I'm just saying, just off of guesswork, like, try to avoid Oregon and Utah, the likely matchups that it'll be, if you're setting up those six games now.
If you're trying to set it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the conference, if whoever you determine, so you determine in the North, that Oregon and Washington are the two teams you think most likely will come out of the North, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then in the South, you're assuming it's...
Utah, USC,
and ASU. So you'll probably try and prevent them.
Yeah, I would think, but who knows?
This might be the year where they really take, like, to Wilner's, you know, a plan that he wants, that really take to heart the, let's just make it easy for everyone. Like I said, I mean, you want to eliminate all the complaining from schools, particularly Oregon and Washington, about when they play each other. Make them play week one. Just get it right out of the chute. Just go week one and play them.
It's a good plan.
I mean, I think they should put up, you know, these just really prime time. I mean, we already went over this. They have everything to themselves that day. There's nothing else going on that. Well, actually, no, we based that on the 31st.
Yeah.
Oh, we did. Son of a gun. That's right. When we did that, that was on the 31st.
So we got to check the schedule now.
We got to go to the schedule.
What week is
November 7th?
Week 9? Week 10.
Is it week 10? Are we sure?
Yes.
Double check me on that.
Yeah, I'm looking right now.
Okay, so it's week 10.
Week 10.
What do we got week 10?
Saturday, November 7th. Kansas, Oklahoma. West Virginia, Texas.
No.
North Carolina, Duke.
No.
Houston, Cincinnati.
No.
Oklahoma State, Kansas State. USF, Memphis.
Florida, Georgia. But that's at 12:30.
Okay.
Oh, son of a...
Clemson and Notre Dame.
Yeah, Clemson and Notre Dame. If that 4 o'clock... Well, that sucks.
Yep.
No one's going to pay attention to you now. Well, that's too bad. You had it to yourselves on the 31st. If you wanted it, you had it all to yourself.
Can't they... I mean... No, they can't. They can't. But, I mean, couldn't they... Like, I mean, just like this year, what was supposed to be, you know, Oregon and Washington, weren't they playing a week before the rest of the conference was going to get started? Like, couldn't they just have Oregon, Washington on the 31st And I don't know. Probably not.
They wanted to be united. They all wanted to do it themselves.
Yeah.
More headlines quickly. Miami and Boston tonight. Game 5 Eastern Conference Finals. Miami can wrap it up and move on to the NBA Finals. Lakers, they're one win away after taking down the Nuggets last night. Seahawks getting set to take on the Cowboys Sunday. We'll have a preview of that game with RJ Choppy from 105.3 The Fan. In Dallas, Dwayne Brown and Benson Mayoa both out of practice yesterday. The Mariners back on the field tonight. They wrap up the 2020 season with a series against Oakland. They have been officially eliminated from the playoffs.
Oof.
Toronto and Houston winning last night. And again, the plan all along should have been Fubar for Kumar, and they should have secured the number one pick.
But now where are you?
Yeah, look where
you are. Now you're right in the middle of
and
the pack.
And Florida prosecutors dropped a misdemeanor charge against Patriots owner Robert Kraft after courts blocked the use of a video that allegedly showed the old man getting a handy.
Why would they not allow that video?
Because they are trying to say that it was illegally taped. That the customers didn't know that there was cameras everywhere, and that the customers should have known that there were cameras there. That's why.
You can't tell by looking around. Oh, look, a camera.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they hit it. I don't know. Mm. But that's just the deal. That's what they got. All right, we got RJ Choppy's going to come up to next. He's going to break down the Cowboys game. We got Fact or Fiction coming up 11:35. We do have to get to our tweet of the day. So I have two great tweets that we're not going to get to at 11:45 because we got Rick Jones. All right.
Yeah. Music grows on me more and more every day.
It does. It's a great.
Yeah.
Man, I forgot to send the audio of this to you. Son of a gun. Did you see Shaq and Barkley yell at each other again last night?
Mm-mm.
It kind of was a great point by Barkley. Shaq tried to compare Goran Dragic to Chris Paul. As much as I don't like Chris Paul, come on.
Chris Paul's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Goran Dragic's not going to be in the Hall of Fame. He wasn't even a starter this year until the postseason.
I mean, one guy has a State Farm endorsement.
That's true.
One guy has a funny little thing on one of the letters of his name.
Your wife retweeted this, so she supports what I'm about to say.
Hold on.
We have gone too far in this world, damn it.
Oh, no.
And our tweet of the day comes from courtesy of Q13 Fox.
What?
That's the local affiliate here of Fox in town.
Okay.
Q13. Kraft is releasing a pumpkin spiced mac and cheese. To where I would say, have we just gone too far with this pumpkin spice craze in this country?
Yes.
It's going to come with the noodles and then a pumpkin spice flavored powder that can be mixed into the cheese sauce. Customers can also garnish the dish with a sprinkle of cinnamon, and each box comes complete with a coffee mug, perhaps a subtle cue to finish off the meal with a pumpkin spice latte.
Mm. This upsets me on a personal level.
Apparently, there is a website. There's an online wait list to get this. PumpkinSpiceKD.com, where users will be notified if they can get the seasonal blue box, which is only available in Canada right now.
It's another thing from Canada messing us up.
What are we doing? Pumpkin spice does not need to be on mac and cheese.
I don't think it needs to be on anything, but that's a different conversation.
This is a sign where we have gone too far in this world. We really have.
Is nothing sacred?
Nothing. I mean, we've just pushed the envelope. This pumpkin spice thing, first of all, can we wait until we get into the fall before we start unveiling pumpkin spice, by the way?
Well, it's fall now.
I mean, my God, no, but we started this like in mid-August.
Oh.
Also from Q13 Fox in our tweet of the day, police in Vietnam have seized hundreds of thousands of used condoms.
Used condoms?
That had been cleaned, repackaged, and ready to be sold as new. The nearly 800 pounds of contraceptives, which investigators estimated to be the equivalent to 345,000 condoms, were found in bags inside a warehouse in the province of Bing Dong.
Of course they were.
Reuters reported, citing a broadcast from the state-owned Vietnam television. A woman detained during a raid of the facility reportedly told police the condoms were boiled in water before being reshaped on a wooden phallus.
Could you just repeat that sentence one more time, please?
It's not clear how many of the used condoms were resold, but the state broadcast quoted the woman as saying she received 17 cents for around every 2 pounds she recycled. The person who owned the warehouse also told a state newspaper that they had received the condoms monthly from an unknown individual. There you go. So, you may have been using a reused condom this past weekend, folks.
I'm all for recycling.
You think that's gone a little too far?
I just think maybe some things it shouldn't apply to. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, that's, I mean, I get it.
No, I'm sure.
Saving the environment is one thing, but I mean, you're right. At some point, we've gone too far.
We've gone too far somewhere.
Use condoms and pumpkin spiced mac and cheese. Too far. RJ Choppy.
I'm disturbed today.
105.3 The Fan. Seahawks preview coming up next.
Tune in tomorrow morning at 8 for Husky Football Saturday.
Green grass in front of them. Off to the races. Touchdown, Washington.
On your home for the Huskies, Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Welcome you back on a Bud Light Seltzer Football Friday. It's Punk and Slick with you. Coming up later in the program, we got Rick Jones, Goldberg Jones, our lawyer of record, 1145, Prince of Puyallup, Chris Egan at noon. Puck the Picker brought to you by the Win Play Show podcast at 1220. Joining us from Big D, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. It's RJ Choppy from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. RJ, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for the applause. I appreciate that.
Yes. All right. How many points are the Cowboys going to score, you think, on Sunday? I'm saying 43.
Mm.
Well, if the Cowboys score 43, I assume that means the Seahawks are going to score like 46.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over in this one, RJ. That's for sure.
Oh, we had Mike McCarthy on our show this morning. We had him every Friday, and I told him, I was like, look, coach, I'm taking the over 56. You know, like, I hope you guys are thinking the same thing. This could be a Big 12 game. And we're used to Big 12 football down here.
Yeah.
And we're used to not winning championships, too. But you know, we're used to a lot of high scoring affairs.
Do you, did McCarthy just say, yeah, I'm going to go the over two? And by the way, let's put a hundy down on that. I mean, can you get him to say that? God, that'd be great.
So a little story. Mike's not a gambler, right? Like, he grew up as, like, you know, I guess his family had a bar restaurant. He grew up working at it, and there was people that were always throwing, like, money into those poker machines, or those are poker machines at the bar.
Yeah.
And he was like, I saw so many people lose all their money. I hate gambling. That's what he basically said. He didn't say this on the air. It's like a long story that he's told before. So no, he's not placed any money down, but I certainly am.
Sounds like somebody that uses that story, RJ, to kind of deflect that they have a real problem. I'll be honest with you, because I've used something similar.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I was looking at the injury report, and quite honestly, the Cowboys, look, I think they have you as the next man up at cornerback. That's how depleted they are with injury. I mean, how bad is this secondary going to be just in terms of just finding bodies on Sunday?
You know, this secondary is thin anyway. And quite frankly, not very talented. Like, you know, Trevon Diggs is a talented player, but I mean, we all know, you watch enough football, rookie corners don't exactly shine yet. You know, even Patrick Peterson, as great as he was rookie year, it took him a few weeks to get into it. You know, very few guys dominate. So this secondary is depleted and not talented to begin with. You know, they lose their best corner last year, Byron Jones, a free agency. And it's tough. I mean, their injury report right now, a lot of it hinges on, you know, Tyron Smith, who was, we thought last week, oh, he'll play. And then we wake up Sunday morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. And, or, you know, in my case, I woke up like 10:30 because I had a little too much fun on Saturday.
I get it. Good for you.
Yeah. It was quite the shock to see. So, I mean, I saw it out of one bloodshot eye too, and it was. I mean, it's. I'm kind of concerned about the injury factor right now with this team, to be honest with you.
RJ Choppy is with us down there in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan. All right, what have they done well, and what have they struggled at here in the first 2 weeks for the Cowboys?
You know, it's actually the opposite of what they did with Jason Garrett. You know, when Jason was here, they were really good in like those scripted portion of the playbook. You know, the first 15 or so plays, they were really good at that. And then this year so far, it's been kind of a disaster. Now last week, you can't really expect and plan for what, five fumbles in a six series, kind of game plan. But they have gotten off to slow starts, and their offense has not clicked. That's what they've got with a no huddle. And you know, when you do a no huddle, and when we've been harping on this year, you know, pre-snap motion, because everyone's in love with Sean McVay and want pre-snap motion left and right. And, you know, they really kind of put themselves in a position where they're kind of not able to do that, because when you're going hurry up, you can't really hurry if you're doing a lot of motion. So it's been a slow start. That they have not done that well. What they have done well is when they've had to throw the ball, they've thrown it. And that's something that, you know, we've looked for here for a few years with Dak. And I'm a huge Dak fan. And, he's had moments where when he's been forced to throw, you know, the offense, for whatever reason, hasn't responded. And one other thing with this game that kind of scares you is the Cowboys on the road over the last six or seven road games dating back to last year have been pretty bad. It's been ugly. I mean, they lost the game. They looked inept against Philadelphia last year. They lost the game at Chicago last year. You know how hard it was to lose a game against Chicago last year?
It's pretty bad.
Way to do it.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, okay. And so, like, they have not been great in road games. That's one of the things that scares me. So, you know, you think on paper this is going to be one of those 45-42 shootouts. Well, the Cowboys' offense hasn't exactly shown up away from AT&T.
Now you're making me rethink my pick about taking the over. I don't need that. I don't need that doubt in my head, RJ.
Off season, the big question was Dak, and is he going to get a big deal? Seems like they've paid everybody but him. What is Dak Prescott? I mean, as far as, is he an elite quarterback? Is he a game manager with good weapons around him? Where would you kind of slot him in?
Yeah, he's not elite. I like to reserve elite for Russ and Patrick. Guys like that, right? Lamar.
Yeah.
He's better than a game manager. He is better than that, and you know I think that he has shown that at times. Now, look again. He's still a fifth year guy, and you know when you're not a top pick, right? When you're a third, fourth rounder, you know, being a fifth year guy, you're still growing. You know, he's still learning. So he's not elite, but he's above a game manager. I think he's somewhere between like the, I don't know, sixth and 11th best quarterback in the league. If you want to say, I mean, he's better than Carson Wentz this year. That's always a big debate we've had around here. What is Dak? I don't know. What is Deshaun Watson now without DeAndre Hopkins? Yeah. He has looked great the first 2 weeks. You know, what is Jared Goff? I mean, he goes to a Super Bowl and then all of a sudden he kind of has a down year. Yeah, I think Dak's somewhere in that. He's in that Deshaun Goff. I guess he's where Matt Ryan is right now, but I think Matt's a little bit better. But, you know, in that area, like, you know, somewhere between 6 and 10.
You know, RJ, and again, RJ Choppy is with us from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. It's almost two teams that mirror each other. You know, just Seattle has got the better record right now, and it's so early, just in 2 weeks of the season. But both have been elite offensively through the first 2 weeks. Defensively, they have their issues. We know what the issues are in Seattle and why they people here a fret over them defensively. What about in Dallas? What's the issues down there with them defensively?
Well, they completely changed up their philosophy, right? So the Cowboys' philosophy under Rod Marinelli for years is keep everyone in front of you. We're gonna build the back of our defense. We're gonna build it back to front, and the guys on the offensive line, we're not looking for necessarily run stoppers. We're looking for, you know, kind of those quick twitch type players. Mm-hmm. Now they bring Mike Nolan in. Mike Nolan and Jim Tomsula want the exact opposite. They want a strong front, and you know the front dictates the secondary to them. So it's been kind of a transition. Like, they're jumping more routes. They're still not getting interceptions. This team's allergic to interceptions. Like, I don't know if they all pop Claritin before the game or what, but they don't get it. They never get turnovers. They don't force turnovers. And they picked the wrong guy this week to try to force turnovers again, because Russ just doesn't turn it over. So defensively, it's, you know, And here's the other thing. You know, Jalen Smith, Notre Dame guy, brilliant, brilliant guy, is like, yeah, this scheme's like too complicated. Well, for the last like 10 years, we've been complaining about being too vanilla. Well, now we're too complicated. It's like there's no middle ground. So, you know, there's issues with they can't get to the passer and they can't stop the pass. So the long way, I gave you like a 10-minute answer on how what's wrong with them.
No, it's exactly the problem here.
It's like looking in a mirror.
It's like I just should have just asked you, break down the Seattle defense and their issues. Because I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, that's why I think everyone feels like it's going to be a shootout on Sunday. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you talk about them not traveling well in terms of what they do offensively. And then the weather clearly is going to play a factor, I think, on Sunday. I think it's rain is in the forecast, so that could be a possibility. But it, to me, RJ, it just feels like it's going to be arena football on Sunday.
It might be. I mean, you know, the best player on the field on the defensive side for both teams is Jamal Adams. I mean, it's easily the best player on the field.
Yeah.
You know, and if it turns into a running game, right, because of the rain, you know, then he's going to wreak havoc. I mean, that's what he does. He lives behind the line of scrimmage. You know, if they've got to pass it all over the field, then you know, Seattle's secondary is not the greatest thing in the world. It's not the Legion anymore. So it is. I think these two teams do mirror each other. The only difference is that, you know, on both sides of the football, Seattle has the best player. They've got the best defensive player, and then Russ is, you know, if not the best quarterback in the league, probably what, second or third. So I mean, it's going to be a tough test for this Cowboy team, although they have had some success against Seattle, oddly enough, over the last few years.
Hey, RJ, anything with Earl Thomas in Dallas at all?
It's silent, guys. You know, it's really, really weird. Now, we know Jerry loves him, and I think this is McCarthy and Will McClay is their sort of director of scouting. It's kind of driven by McCarthy and McClay about not bringing him in, but Jerry's in love with names. We know that. He wanted Johnny Manziel over Zach Martin. So he's just in love with names, but there's nothing. And it's been silent across the league, right? I mean, no one has touched this guy for whatever reason. It's almost like if Baltimore says we don't want you, the whole league turns away.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, this guy was, you know, is I think still considered a Hall of Famer at some point. I think I think people view Earl Thomas as a Hall of Famer, but. And it's not like he had a poor year last year, and he's available, and no one has sniffed him. And it's amazing. And you've seen guys go down. You've seen safeties go down the first 2 weeks. So it is on. Hey, one last thing just quickly before it doesn't really impact us here. But, you know, there's a lot of fans of the Seahawks who wonder why we can't be at home watching games in the stadium. What was it like to see Dallas play in front of fans? Was it weird? Was it odd?
It was odd from the sense that anytime there's a punt, you see empty seats with smattering of fans, right? That was odd. From a noise standpoint, I don't really think it did a whole lot. I can't imagine 20,000 people is raising the decibel level above, what, 70 or 80 the league puts in. It was weird, though. It was definitely weird seeing photos of a half of a quarter empty stadium and wasn't the odds that there was fans there? And besides, like this is like the Wild West here, man. Like the bars have been open the whole time. People are walking around, no masks on. It's such a different world. My sister just moved here from California, and she's like, she wears her mask when she comes in my house, and I'm like, look, stop. Like we're good here, okay? This is a safe zone. But it's just a different world. It really is, and it was really odd to see.
RJ, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Good luck, man. You know, I mean, we'll say good luck to you. I mean, good luck to life, RJ. Yeah. Maybe not good luck in the game, but good luck on life.
Every
all right?
other day but Sunday.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to talk Rangers Mariners when I came on.
Jesus.
So this is
Lord. I mean,
why?
Terrible.
I think they should dissolve both franchises, RJ. Good God, let's move on. All right, sir. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
RJ Choppy, host down there in Dallas 105.3, the fan there, big Dallas. Mm. Well, I would assume it's going to be a shootout. I'm still going to take the over in it, but
you know, I just
these guys can't stop a cold. But now everyone's going to assume it's going to be the over. This is why I hate gambling and I love gambling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's going to assume it's a big number, the total. And then it's going to be, you know, 20 to 16.
Well, it's going to be one of those. You expect fireworks immediately, but halftime it's going to be like 17-14.
Yeah, God, I don't need that.
But then
in
the second half, it's going to creep up there, and all of a sudden you look, it's 41-38.
I don't need the doubt in my creeping in my head.
Like yeah.
That. All right, I went with the over. We're going to stick with the over. It's going to give you a preview there of Puck the Picker, all right?
Just as we let him go, I thought, Don, I mean, I should ask, because they got a team in the Stanley Cup down there, don't they? And we're about to have one here in 2 years.
That's going on right now?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, we got to get like...
Is anyone watching it?
I don't know, but we got to get in that mode. It's about to be us.
Do we? Yes. I mean, the numbers, I think, have been pretty terrible.
Look, we got to get geared up to get cracking crazy, man.
It's COVID, so I'm going to chalk it up to COVID.
Okay.
But there ain't a soul in America that is paying attention to Dallas and Tampa Bay right now. If we did 10 calls right now, but they couldn't look at their computer or their phone and ask them, what's the series at? Or what's the big news today that came out?
It's 2-1, right? I haven't seen the news.
Well, that's what, if we just, you just, well, of course now it's.
We weren't going to do it. We have to do Fact or Fiction.
No, we were going to do it. No, we were going to do it. Fact or Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. You just ruined it.
It's time for Fact.
Yeah, we were. Kid and I had a plan.
Or Fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
You just brought it up. You had it planned.
This is Kyle Rope of the New York Giants, and touchdown.
Crank it up, Chris. Let's go.
They have a touchdown song?
I guess.
Is this now officially the New York Giants show of record?
This is the New York Giants taking the point show of record. Do we have a fight song?
No.
We need one.
I mean, there's like, for a while they're playing Can't Hold Us by Macklemore and we scored a touchdown. I mean, during the Super Bowl run and everything, which is cool.
We can go away from that.
Oh.
I think record sales have indicated maybe we move on.
I mean, he only won a Grammy with that album, but sure.
Gonna be on VH1. Where are they now?
He's around. Nobody's been.
We need a fight song. We did it Wednesday. We did it Thursday.
Don't you dare!
And you better believe it. We're doing it today.
Now, how can we do this?
The first, because the line has changed. We got him at 6.5 on Wednesday. We got him at 4 yesterday. And damn it, we're going to take him again today. Screw all of you. We're tripling down. We're taking the Giants plus the 3.5 against the Niners. Fact to 49451. You want to do it? Go ahead. Fiction to 49451. You heard me right. 3 days in a row. All different numbers. Giants at 3.5. Fact to 49451. Fiction to 49451. All I wanted is I went to bed last night. I said, sweet baby Jesus, please let the line change.
Either way.
And sweet baby, I said, yeah, doesn't matter what. Either way, let the line change. And sweet baby Jesus came through. Giants plus the 3.5. Fact to 49451. Fiction to 49451. The first time in the history of Fact or Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. Was it intentional? No. Did I forget that I picked the game on Wednesday and did the same game Thursday and did the same complete breakdown? Correcto mundo. All of that is also available at sportsradiokdra.com on the on-demand page. You can hear the breakdown of the Wednesday pick and the breakdown of the Thursday pick. But we're doing it again. Why not? Let's have fun with it. I mean, if this comes through, we have firmly put ourselves in first place.
You have done the impossible.
Giants plus 3.5 against the Niners. Fact of 49451, fiction of 49451.
I never thought the day would come when I wanted the 49ers to win by any amount. But now, I am begging for a Niners 7-point win.
What's wrong with you?
I want you to miss all three.
It only helps the Seahawks if the Giants win.
I know. But
their whole team is out.
This is bigger than that.
Devontae Freeman's going to have a field day. Danny Dimes all over the place.
Devontae Freeman.
Who's one of their best wide receivers?
Sterling Shepard.
He's out, right?
Yeah. Darius Slayton.
Oh, Slayton. Slayton's going to have a field day.
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate. Probably 200 yards.
Evan Engram.
Evan Engram. Come on. Who do you trust? Danny Dimes or Nick Mullins?
Well, Danny Dimes. I actually kind of like Danny
49451. Giants plus the 3.5. You heard it here. Right. Did you know? The Niners have been out there all week. The Niners, they've lost all these injuries. They stayed in Greenbrier all week. I don't know if you guys know this, but when they tried to fly out of New York, their plane got hit. They were on the tarmac for 6 hours. Their MRI, again, don't know if you know this, MRI machine broken. Giants big.
This is analysis you can't get anywhere else.
Don't even need the points. Giants big. There we go. Giants plus 3.5, 49451. Fact, 49451. Fiction. All right. How did Robert Kraft get off? We'll ask Rick Jones next.
Tune in tomorrow as Florida State faces off against Miami. Kickoff at 4:30 on your home for college football Saturdays. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
You know, speaking of the Huskies, the Husky football Saturday coming up tomorrow from 8 to 11. Tony Castricone, Damon Heward right here on 950 KJR. They'll be talking about the first hour will be a replay of the 2012 classic between the Huskies and the Cardinal of Stanford. And then Tony and Damon will then spend the 2 hours after that breaking down Husky football, which is back. November 6th, it gets underway. College football, they'll play seven games, so six kind of regular, and then they'll have one other additional kind of crossover game. But it's back. They'll be playing football. Schedule is supposed to come out next week.
Yeah.
There for the Pac-12. All right. Every Friday, it's a tradition. You have legal questions. You have divorce questions. You give our guy a call, Rick Jones from Goldberg Jones. He joins right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Rick, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Puck. Swick, how are you guys?
Well, this weather screws up our golf game, doesn't it?
It sure does, but I'm still stoked about the Pac-12 news, yeah, so it's still a good day.
That's right. Yeah, Pac-12 will be great. I'm playing in a tournament tomorrow. It's going to be waterlogged, for God's sakes. Going to be hitting driver from 140 yards out. Actually, probably no different than really when I play normally. All right, we have 49451. You got a question for Rick, 49451, ask Rick. We'll get him in as best we can. If you want a legal question, divorce question for Rick, 49451. As always, Rick, give him the phone number.
It's 1-800-DIVORCE. It's an easy one to remember.
Slick, you had a question for Rick Jones right off the bat.
I got a couple for Rick today.
Okay, all right.
All right, so, Rick, we have a tree that sits on the other side of the sidewalk
like
there in our property.
You always have a tree question.
Well, it's interesting because I came home the other day. There's a giant branch along the side of my house and a note from a guy who says, "Hey, happened to run over your branch, sorry, and left a number." Now, how
run
much
over your branch?
Yeah, he knocked the branch, giant branch, off the tree.
Okay,
how much can I get this guy for here in court?
Wow, I'm having a tough time visualizing this.
Yeah. I have no idea what he. How did he run over a branch?
I don't know. It was kind of going over the street a little bit.
Okay, and so he hit it and then
pulled up.
Out?
Yeah.
That's odd.
So it's like a big moving truck that knocked this thing over.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know how last week we actually talked about the air rights. Mm-hmm. So I guess one of my questions would be whether or not this limb or this branch was exceeding your property. If it was over the street, then he really didn't harm your property.
Okay.
Now let's then say maybe part of it was over the street, but the rest of it, of course, the tree is on your property.
Yep.
And it broke right there at the main source. Well, then you've got a little bit of an issue. Not really a he said she said, but your issue is, were you partly to blame for that by allowing that branch to extend into the street?
All right. Well, good to know.
And then we got one more angle. There's a third possibility. Uh-oh. Which is, let's say he was like backing into your driveway because he was making a U-turn somehow on the street.
Okay.
And so this was entirely within your property. Then, yes, the question is, how much are you damaged? What's the worth of a damaged tree? And you you know, you'll have experts out there, arborists, that can say, hey, this actually caused damage to the tree, and his auto insurance should cover it.
Before we get to Kraft and the Handy, Rick, another tree question. So I have we have a neighbor down our street, and we always just focus on trees on this thing. They have a bush tree, whatever you want to call it, that's in their parking strip, right? But that thing has grown so out of control that it's like halfway in the street now. So when you drive, like you've got to, like when I live in Seattle, everyone parks on the street. So, you know, you a lot of times have to pull over for people, right? To one way.
Yeah.
So, but you can't see anyone because of this bush, right? Like you're driving through it. Is it their responsibility to trim that up?
Mm.
You know, it is their responsibility. The bummer that we have, though, is the enforcement, because it's not up to you to enforce, right? Because they're encroaching on the city's property. So it would be, upon the city to actually make that happen. So from your perspective, what you would want to do is, if you think it would be helpful, send the neighbor a note saying, hey, this has become an issue. If they don't do anything, or if you're just uncomfortable doing that, then contact the city and say, hey, we have a dangerous situation here.
All right, how did Kraft get off on this charge? I mean, he clearly paid the woman at the Orchid Spa to have sex at the massage parlor. No one's disputing that. But this whole video thing, they found the loophole in the whole bit?
Well, yes, they did. I mean, we have rules of evidence, and the rules of evidence are there for a reason. What happened, of course, here is you're not normally expecting on a misdemeanor charge to have somebody like Robert Kraft and his team of obviously very, very good and I'm sure very expensive attorneys that are able to, you know, dig so far and make the arguments they made. But ultimately, it was ruled by the lower court and now by the appeals court that the video evidence was inadmissible. And I don't think anybody's really actually questioning that's the right ruling when it comes to applying the evidence. Everybody's just frustrated, of course, because we all know he did it. I mean, heck, he's the one that came out and apologized right off the bat. He knows he did it.
Yeah. I mean, he did it. I mean, whatever. I mean, if a guy wants to get a happy ending after massage, I mean, do whatever he wants to do, that's their choice, right?
Happy ending.
That's their right. But the whole trafficking thing was thrown in there. So what type of check do you think he wrote Palm Beach in order to get this thing dropped? Like, what size do you think that was? Let me ask you, was it over or under $500,000, do you think?
You know, I don't think that there was a transaction.
Oh, Rick, come on. How long you been doing this, Rick?
More than the Dunbar payoff?
I think there might have been some implications, but at the same time, it's Palm Beach. You know, he's probably a semi-resident there. I think they just looked at it and said, you know how much this is going to cost us to try and prosecute? So I think they did it to save money, not to make money.
I have an actual divorce question, Rick. So my wife and I are playing each other in fantasy football. I have James Robinson, who just stomped her last night. So all night I'm like singing, you know, Mrs. Robinson to her. This morning from work, I actually got our Amazon to play Mrs. Robinson and Starler wake her up out of bed.
Okay.
When she sues me for divorce, does she have grounds now?
Wow, cuckoo ca-choo.
Exactly. Exactly.
First of all, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Secondly, you know, this is going to sound like good news, but it's not. Because first of all, does she have grounds to sue you based on that? No, but grounds are not required to divorce somebody. Washington is what's called a no-fault state.
Yeah.
So if she didn't like your politics, she can divorce you.
Hmm.
If she didn't like your haircut, she could divorce you.
Wow.
And vice versa.
Well,
I would hope at some point Palm Beach brings back the charges, because one of the women that Kraft did solicit was a 60-year-old woman. I mean, he should go to jail for that grounds itself. My God.
No kidding. What does money buy you these days?
Well, I don't know. Apparently nothing. All right, Rick, great stuff. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, guys. Have fun.
Rick Jones, Goldberg Jones, 1-800-DIVORCE. Any questions? Headlines coming up 5 minutes from right now. The Prince of Pew. I'll have Chris Egan for his weekly visit.
Tune in Sunday for the NFL. First, it's Washington at Cleveland. Kickoff at 10. Then it's Green Bay at New Orleans on Sunday Night Football. Kickoff at 5:20 on your home for the 12th man and the NFL. Sports Radio 950, KJR.